Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Probably the best way of experiencing Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and I'm joined by London top DJ and self-professed Japanophile, Pete Donaldson.
LTDJ. London's top DJ. I killed all the rest of them, and now I'm the top dog.
You are quite good. How are you, Pete?
I'm all right, I'm good. I'm having a lovely week. I've just had a Bakewell tart. We've both had a Bakewell tart.
I haven't had Bakewell tarts in years.
Well, you've had one today. And also a Kit Kat as well.
Kit Kats, coffee, job done.
That is
how you start a podcast.
Travelled all the way to London from Japan, and yeah, you're eating Kit Kats. That's
podcast
not right,
prep.
Is it?
Yeah.
Have you been there? All right?
Yeah, not too bad. About to head back to Japan.
Great, yeah, good.
It's, after about 2 or 3 weeks back in the UK, it's time. I always feel like it's time to go back.
You got to go back now.
it's my destiny. To stuffing myself with bacon, cheese, and sausages.
Yes.
And tea. For 2 weeks relentlessly, I've put on about 3 or 4 kilograms. I'm not even joking, it's shocking.
You sort of said last week that you were going to be starting some kind of weight loss program.
Yeah, later on in spring, when the snows of North Japan melt.
Yeah.
Because it's so damn cold.
It's so damn cold, there's nothing else to do, is it?
It's
you can't
horrible.
Walk around. You do a lot of walking, though, that's the thing.
Do you?
So you? No, you do.
Me?
Yeah.
Where?
You do a lot of
when?
Walking. You're always strolling around.
Am I?
The streets.
First I've heard of it.
With your heavy cameras.
Well, I don't. Yeah, but the reason I've put on weight recently is I haven't been walking because it is really snowy.
Mm.
You can't get out. It's not fun. Japanese winters are horrific.
I'd never so much kind of differences in snowy bits and not snowy bits.
Have you ever visited Japan in winter?
No. I went to Sapporo in October and it was bloody freezing.
Yeah.
And then in Tokyo and Osaka, bloody warm.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous place.
I mean, thermals, Chris.
Don't go in winter. And you, cherished listener, don't go to Japan in winter. That's my top tip of the day.
Well, I bet the trains still work, though, don't they?
Just about.
I bet you can still get around.
It's pretty hardcore, though. Mm. A train near where I used to live got blown off the tracks by the winds, the Siberian
Whoa.
Winds, yeah.
Holy moly.
Big kerfuffle.
Well, is that what you call a train, yeah?
What a massive disaster.
Yeah, there's been a big kerfuffle. Was a train fell off the tracks.
But yeah, no, I'm not, on one hand, I'm looking forward to going back, because I've got lots of things to do.
Yeah.
Quite like Japan.
Mm.
I'm abroad in Japan. I suppose I have to.
Yeah, you can't
I
be abroad in Japan in Britain. That would be too much.
And as I said before, it's my destiny to be there as abroad in Japan.
But you can't get out
on the other, yeah, the winter here is much more bearable.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm not looking forward to landing at Tokyo, going, oh, it's quite nice here, and then getting on the bullet train 2 hours north to a foot of snow. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, well, never mind. Chris, we thought we'd do something a little bit different this week.
Q&A.
Little Q&A, little
quite
email
a few
special.
Questions, haven't we, last few weeks? So.
Exactly, so we need to pile through some of them. I mean, keep them coming in,
yeah,
by all means.
Awesome questions.
Mm.
We haven't given them that much attention recently. Because it was new, right? First things first, let's have a podcast, then let's have Q&A.
Exactly. Think about bringing the people in.
I'm acting like I know how to do a podcast. I don't. Completely wigging it, although you know what you're doing. So right.
You do sort of treat podcastery as being this kind of like dark art. When you're literally doing podcasting but in video form.
That's not true, is it?
Informative. Thematics.
Thematics. Some big words here.
Yeah.
But that's not true.
What do you mean?
Because a podcast, it's like a conversation happening live, right?
Yes. I mean, this is the first thing
YouTube,
you've kind of...
I can edit the videos.
Right,
if I
okay.
say something funny or weird, I can just redo it. But the podcast, once you've done it once, it's game over.
Well,
it has
just...
to go on. You can't edit it.
Yeah, exactly. These are completely unedited. So this is Chris Broad, live and unleashed. He could do a Logan Paul or do something dreadful, a PewDiePie, at any moment.
Oh,
and he'd have to deal with the consequences, quite frankly.
You had to bring up Logan Paul, didn't you?
To bring up Logan Paul.
No escape from those two words, isn't
there? I think YouTubers have done quite well out of Logan Paul.
I know.
So, everyone know, I'm not even going to bother to have a pressy about Logan Paul, but... what I would say is that the thing that he is most famous for doing in that forest is not even 10% of what of the other horrible things he did in that video.
Well, it's pretty bad, but like, yeah, the stuff he did in Japan. God, just thinking about it makes me, yeah.
It was like your video that you did about 10 things not to do in Japan.
12 things, yeah.
12 things.
A week later, I have 12 things not to do in Japan. A week later, he does everything on that list times 10.
Do you think he missed the word don't do?
Yeah.
just do all of these things.
Random, isn't it?
He threw a pokeball at a policeman.
I can't now, believe that. Pokemon board policeman and dead fish on back of taxi.
Those policemen are not to be trifled with. They are lovely and sweet, but I would not mess with them, to be quite frank.
I mean, it sounds bad, but I do have trouble sometimes taking Japanese policemen seriously because they're so nice.
Yes.
Right? When I moved into my new apartment last year, The police guy came to my door, knocked on my door, I opened it, it was a policeman, and he said to me, in English, "I am Japanese policeman." And I went, that's the best introduction you could possibly do as a Japanese policeman. "I am Japanese policeman."
They're not renowned for their English skills, are they?
He was good.
Right.
Lovely guy.
What was his beef? What did you do?
I just wanted to say hello.
Oh,
he welcomed me to the neighbourhood.
That's lovely, Chris.
Exactly.
I am Japanese policeman.
Nice. And I got pulled over for speeding. Probably shouldn't have told you that. Got pulled over for speeding. Wait, you were there?
I was there in the car, Chris.
Shit, how did I forget about that?
I know you did.
My first speeding ticket in my life, in my entire life, got in Japan, September last year when Pete came over.
Yeah.
We were driving through the countryside. I think I was going 10 kilometres over the speed limit.
Everyone seems to speed over there, though, Chris. I didn't feel like the speed limit in Japan is a lot lower
than like the UK. I was doing 10 kilometres over the speed limit, but the fact was we just got down a road where the police were just stopping cars to fill a quota.
Mm.
And they were like, they pulled me over, took me in the back of a van, they were like, "You went over the speed limit by 10 kilometres per hour." And I was like, oh no. I mean, I do obey the road rules. Traffic rules.
You're very safe and careful driver.
We had to get you back to the Shinkansen, so it was your fault. But like, they were all apologising.
The bullet car had to reach the bullet train.
The bullet car. They were all apologising for inconveniencing me and pulling me over.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, 3 days later, I was in Roppongi, and we arrived in Roppongi. Roppongi's got a terrible reputation for everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a bit of crime, bit of dirt, a bit of nonsense.
Yeah.
But it does have a couple of bars, a couple of decent bars, so that's where I was meeting someone. You know, me and three friends were basically taken aside by three policemen. The most polite men you've ever met in your life. Just basically going, "Look, we are Japanese policemen. What drugs do you have in your pocket? Remember, British drug different to Japanese drug, and there are different rules."
You said that in English?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I was, some stomach tablets.
All right.
Because, the food messes with my guts sometimes, and certainly the beer does. So I was having to explain what a ranitidine acid...
This podcast episode is starting to feel like a confession zone. I broke the law.
But I think, I'm fairly certain that contravened many of my human rights, hit them going through my pockets and going through everybody else's pockets.
Probably.
But they were so polite, I didn't mind.
Just go along with it. Yeah,
just go along with it.
They're very nice. Like they're nice.
They are nice. Nice guys. Nice guys. Although there was a fight outside another bar that one of them grabbed me. This is on a different trip. One of them grabbed me and... Chigaimas, does that mean mistake?
It means different.
Different.
It means no. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because in that way, like,
I shouted... So somebody grabbed hold of me thinking I was the Gaijin white guy who had been in the fight. And
you weren't?
And I wasn't, no.
Really?
But I went, "Chigaimas! Mr. Policeman, you're making a big mistake."
And he went, did that work?
So doesn't it? Yeah. He let me go.
Wow.
But so, I had started that fight. I did. I hadn't really.
The secret to success in Japan. Chigaimasu.
Just shout mistake.
Chigaimasu.
So shall we get to a couple of messages, a couple of questions from the people?
Let's plunge in.
Jack Sadler What up, Jack? If you, Chris, had a theme tune or walk-on music, what would it be? So, like, walk-on music, so, you know, like the wrestling, kind of, so you need something a bit kind of up.
Let's Groove by Earth, Wind & Fire.
My God. Chris is very good at beatboxing, but not when he's got a cold.
But I'm excited because these microphones make it sound good.
Do you want to do three bars?
Okay, that's bad. Okay, no.
Isn't that impressive?
But
come on,
but
woo!
If you're going to be an English teacher in Japan, you need to know it.
What you need to know?
It's like whenever the class is going to shit, whenever things are going bad,
right?
And everyone's bored, the students don't care about English.
Yeah,
you just go, "What's that, children?"
Really?
And the whole class comes alive, and it makes everything good. I did it about 300 times over the course of 3 years.
It's like
100 times a year.
It's like control or delete.
Every 3 days I did that. it's amazing. It is the control or delete of Japan.
Fantastic. What? So it's the
that's why you didn't get on the exchange teaching program. That's why you didn't get to become a teacher, Pete.
Because I couldn't. I didn't even think that was a good idea.
They go, "What can you do, Pete?" And he had gone, "Well,
I can shout Shigimus really loud." And at Sui from last week. So Earth, Wind & Fire, you gone for that one.
What would you go for?
Lip Up Fatty by Bad Manners. Are you familiar with that song?
That's way too quirky.
Lip Up Fatty and Lip Up Fatty, Fatty Reggae. It's a nice song. It's a nice, fun song about fatty. Wes says, what would you like to improve about Japan? You love Japan, Chris. You do a YouTube channel about it, but how would you improve it?
Crikey.
It's a big one, isn't it?
Oh.
It's a big one. Sugoi.
I don't know, really. Crikey.
Because the trains all work well, the food's nice.
Yeah, that's quite a tough one, actually, isn't it?
I'm going to come back to that one.
Have you got any ideas?
Well,
I think over this coffee.
Hot. It gets too hot in the summer, and I am a sweaty boy.
We're talking culture, not weather.
All right, okay. Lost property, Chris.
What?
I lose at least three things every holiday, and I always have to go to the same lost property office in Shinjuku Station, which is the most baffling city on Earth. Now you think, oh, Tokyo, it's a city in itself. No, the train station in Shinjuku is like 10 train stations sellotaped, gaffer-taped, welded to three other ones.
Well,
it's insane.
It's the world's busiest station.
It's
fun fact.
It doesn't need to be that busy.
Shinjuku Station, I've been lost in there for days. You know, like, I think top 10 at, like, I can't even talk today, blimey. 8 of the top 10 busiest stations in the world are in Tokyo.
I can well believe it, because they're not just train stations. If they were just train stations and they just had the lines and the platforms, fine. But no, eating experiences, coin lockers,
shopping malls,
toilets, yeah. Shopping malls. They're so confusing, Chris.
And they're not well signposted.
No. But every part looks like everything else. The department stores are the same at every exit, and you go, what exit do you want to leave at? There's a north gate, there's a west gate, there's a temple gate.
Japan! Whenever I have to go to Tokyo, I have to go through Tokyo Station, and I endure that. And it's not fun. I don't like it.
There's lots of different lines as well.
Way of, like, arriving in Tokyo.
Yeah.
It's like, going in the more, like, it's going in a football stadium or something, the equivalent of a crowd.
Yeah,
and millions of people a day go through those stations.
Hugely, yeah. And it gives you an unfair kind of view of what Tokyo is like, because everything else is quite easy to figure out. Train stations, the old Ekis, they can eck off. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I mean, you can get around Japan pretty easily without Japanese.
Oh, massively, yeah.
And everything's signposted these days. I mean, yeah, get around.
Well, Sandra sort of says an interesting question would be, for a two-week trip to Japan, what kind of level in Japanese should you speak?
None.
You don't need it, do you?
I mean, yeah, learn it. If you can, learn it. Learn something. It makes it a lot more fun, right?
Just learn whenever I go anywhere, from, you know, Estonia to Iceland, I try and learn, where's the toilet?
Brilliant.
And can I have a check, please, basically? Can I have a check?
That's that it. Not even hello.
No.
Where's the toilet?
Well, hello, hello and maybe goodbye. Where's the check? Where's the toilet? Always find out where the toilet is.
But I mean, I...
Ha chang shuo o die o. I think it's Korean. Toilet wa
dogan ska. I don't know if you're taking the piss or
not. No, it is. Mr. Toilet Room, I think, is Estonian. Mr. Toilet Room.
Mm. Mr. Toilet Room?
Yeah, at the mail. Mr. Toilet Room.
That's amazing.
It's good, isn't it? In Icelandic, the Czech is Viltigurus the Veltakomum Reckningin, which is like a shortening of, which is a lengthening of the word reckoning. Yeah, and so a lot of these European cities, the word for receipt or check is de reckoning. Give me de reckoning. Isn't that scary? Like the reckoning, please.
Sounds like a Bond villain's kind of phrase, isn't it?
Requiem. Dreadful behaviour.
So you've genuinely learned these phrases.
Yes.
I thought you were that's
no,
impressive.
No, I have. Yeah, it's a
you
Bond.
You are an impressive person.
What an impressive
like,
man.
Yeah, you really don't need that much Japanese to travel around Japan. I knew people that worked as teachers for 2 years who knew literally nothing.
Yeah.
They knew nothing, and like, it wasn't a problem.
Mm.
A lot of people in Japan do speak English, but everything's signposted. If you go to a restaurant, you can point at pictures.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
And you get a little bit more out of it if you kind of can, you know...
If you can, though, it's really good if you go to a bar and you can whip out a few phrases. It's a great way of making friends.
Mm.
Like, if Japanese people see that you're making the effort, they'll make the effort.
Mm.
They'll probably... I've had it where, like, nobody speaks to me, so I speak a bit of Japanese, and then they'll speak to me in English. And
yes.
They'll kind of...
Greases the wheels.
Yeah, they'll kind of open up, especially if they're drunk.
And also, if you've got, like... if you're on the mobile phone, you're trying to find a place, taxi drivers, when I first went, they rarely speak English. And it's quite difficult to locate. And I noticed that phone numbers are quite important for businesses. Like, they seem to use... In the big cities, they use the phone numbers to locate places.
Yeah, it's the GPS way. Yeah. They put the phone number on you, that's how they get there.
So weird. And but I found that just learning, like, Hidari Miggy, left, right. Like, just here. Go left. Go left. Miggy. Go right. Go left. Stop. And then you're done. Then you're where you need to be. As long as you know where you're going, you're
fine.
Have
you ever got, like, truly lost? Obviously, it's interesting... For me to hear, because obviously you've been to Japan without any Japanese lot.
Right, yeah.
Have you ever got really lost? Has anything really bad ever happened?
No, but I think I've always had like a Wi-Fi dongle with me, so I can get some...
keep you in good stead.
Roaming charges,
so
expensive.
That's the advice I give, yeah. That's the advice I give, just... Get a dongle. Get Google Maps.
Yeah.
Job done, isn't it?
In this day and age, you don't need it. You just don't need it. So thank you for your message, Sandro. Benzoist. What are the most striking differences between Japanese and Hollywood films? You're a big film buff, Chris.
I think you'll find each one has different values.
Right.
Like, Japanese cinema often puts... like, cultural values go on, like, the family.
Okay.
Like, a family unit and collectivism.
Like, Fast and
Japan,
Furious.
Exactly.
That's all about the family, isn't it?
Fast
Furious and families.
Tokyo Drift. But, like, people... Yeah, I don't know. Family unit.
Mm.
Family is the best thing ever in Japan. Every movie I seem to watch seems to prioritise that. And collectivism.
Ah.
The idea of putting others before yourself.
That's fair.
Which is a lovely value. Japan's top cultural
top
thing
value.
Is
Japan's top value.
Putting others before themselves.
Jake says, would you still recommend becoming an ALT in Japan? Learning teacher, is that what ALT stands for? A lovely teacher,
it's
ALT.
Assistant language teacher.
Oh, right, okay.
The job you went for.
All right, you don't need to bring that up again. I failed the interview for an entry-level job.
Every teacher in Japan is actually mostly an assistant language teacher. I was.
Right.
When I say I'm an English teacher for 3 years, I was an English teacher for 3 years. It's not strictly true.
All right.
I was
you still did lessons, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I still did the lessons, but I was an assistant most of the time.
Right.
You know, not often would I have lessons on my own. But when I did, it still worked out right.
Okay.
But you're always an assistant kind of thing.
So how does that kind of manifest itself? Like, the teacher goes, oh, Chris will demonstrate.
Yeah, and then
I'll beatbox.
Again, that is my, again. That was my class, was beatboxing. I don't know, really. I would just wing it.
Yeah.
I kind of prepare things before the lesson goes.
Right.
But, like, would I recommend it still after all these years? Yes.
Hmm.
My first year was pretty hard. As at ALT, because I wasn't prepared for it. I had to learn how they teach in Japan, and it was my first like job outside of university.
Mm.
But by the second year, I quite enjoyed it.
Mm.
I really came into my own. I tried to use creativity in the classroom to get students learning and doing things with the English they knew.
Mm.
So like I made like students make a newspaper,
for example,
or a magazine, using their English, or act out a film, things like that. And that's what I really enjoyed. That was the bit that I enjoyed.
Oh, that is very heartening. I feel what film is that when Robin Williams makes all the kids stand up on the table?
I was
going to
say Good Will Hunting. Good Will Hunting. Definitely not. Yeah, it's like that. Or School of Rock is the best way.
Yes! You were like Jack Black in School of Rock, beatboxing your way through the ALT course.
Absolutely. Jack Black, but beatboxing. I would recommend it. It was a great experience. Mm. And if I go back and change it, I wouldn't.
Good man. It's not up to you. Let's face it. and in many ways, like becoming an alt or a school teacher is kind of the only way you can start
it is,
to work.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is like the way into Japan. Mm. Unless you've got a great company that get you. But like, yeah, it is the way into Japan. Mm. And once you've got your foot in the door, you can do something else or start looking for other jobs.
Lovely old job. We're going to take a short break because we're running out of time for the first half. But we'll be back next with more of your questions and quick.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Theories and things.
And to my surprise, I stumbled across a secret, sexy club.
Wow.
Chris Broad there, talking about his secret sexy club.
You just keep pulling these out of the hat.
That was when you were I think you were looking at Japanese-English signs.
I was looking at strange Japanese-English, right? And that was one of the snack or hostess bars I found.
Secret like
they,
sexy
they,
club.
They wanted to keep it a secret, and they had this sign, like 50 foot above the door. Secret sexy club.
The first rule
of secret sexy club is we do not talk about secret sexy club.
I mean, the sign writer had a laugh there.
Sign out the front.
The sign writer had a bit of a giggle, really, didn't he? So he rang up the sign writer and went, "Look, I need a sign making. Right, what's the sign? Well, it's for my secret sexy club." And he went, "Right, first question. How big is this sign going to be? How secret is the sign going to be?" Terrible idea. Dreadful. Shall we head back to a couple of questions?
Let's
Jake.
Let's dive in.
Jake says, actually, let's go for Efrain. Efrain Rodriguez. Hello, Efrain. Great name.
It is a cracking name.
Cracking name, isn't it?
Character out of a Robert Rodriguez movie.
Favourite beer? Favourite beer?
Japanese. We'll go down the Japanese route. Yeah. I'll say Sapporo beer.
Yeah, okay.
By far. I find Asahi beer tastes like lemonade.
Really?
Or fizzy,
is it too
water,
fizzy?
Because
I'm
tonic water.
Right, okay. So you don't like fizzy beer. You like slightly kind of more subdued beer.
Well, and Sapporo is fizzy, but it has a hint of nice flavour.
Oh,
the finest beer description ever. Sapporo, it's got something to it. It's difficult to explain, but it's got a flavour, a hint of something that makes it good.
Well, the one thing that I noticed when it's got a hint of something.
A hint of something.
Put that in the poster.
What's your favourite beer?
I like Sapporo. I find it hard to, after the first one, I mean, I'm anyone's really. I'm very very much into my Yoggerito, as we all know. But
Yoggerito.
No, they do have. I'm a big fan of lager, so I like after a long day and you want a beer, and it's like you want a very aggressive. Kirin's nice, yeah. If you want something aggressive, a bit fizzy, like, oh yeah. The one thing I have noticed though is when we went to that restaurant with the owner of the ryokan that I gave your ciders to.
I remember.
Not ciders for you, Chris. They have this rule, weird kind of formula, where you sit at a table and you're not allowed to pour yourself
a
beer.
That's right.
You have to pour everybody else, and they got to pour you a beer. It's really weird.
Yeah, you can't pour your own drink in Japan if you're out with friends, basically. If you go to izakaya, Japanese pub or bar, can't pour your own drink.
You get like a big bottle.
So when you have to, it's quite annoying. You have to always be switched on, looking at your friend's drinks.
Yeah.
And if it's like half full, you pick up the bottle and pour away.
It's hard, isn't it? It's just, can we not just get a bottle each and just drink it? It's fine. Just give me a pint.
It's a nice rule though, actually. Having someone top up your drink, it kind of reinforces the fact you're all friends.
In it together.
With your Sapporo beer.
But as a really sort of polite Englishman, I'm always just going, thank you. Arigato gozaimasu. And also, for the first time I went, I was doing the domo arigato gozaimasu, like the poshest way of doing it.
Domo.
Domo. So posh. And also, as a British person, that's another good word to use. Gimenasai. Just say sorry for everything.
Yep.
Everything. Sumimasen.
Sumimasen.
Say
bang
sorry
into
for
someone
everything.
On the train. Sumimasen. Drop
sorry.
Your beer all over the floor. Sumimasen. Drop your, I don't know.
Guts.
Yeah. Anything goes wrong.
Yeah.
Sumimasen.
Incredible. It's actually sumimasen. But if you say it quickly, you can kind of drop the first sentence.
Sumimasen. Sumimasen. Ah, right, okay. Sumimasen. It's just sumimasen is a word that gets bandied around willy-nilly all over the place. If you go into a shop, people are constantly saying it to you.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's apologising for things that haven't even happened. It's the go-to word. There's one word you need to know before you come to Japan. It's sumimasen or sumimasen.
Sumimasen! And what's the other word they use in shops? Irashimasen.
Whenever you
go, like, welcome, and then they go, sorry. They go, welcome, sorry, sorry, and follow you around the shotgun, sorry, sorry about this.
What do we get in the UK? What's the equivalent?
Why are you in my shop?
Yeah,
what are you doing here? Sorry about the asbestos. It's an acquired taste.
Next message, Jake. We're ending on a weird one, to be honest. Jake, thank you for this one. If you could buy one console, what would it be? Nintendo Switch, PS4, or Xbox One?
Well, I can kind of cheat there, because I do own one of those.
You,
do you know what I own?
You chipped. I do know because when I left you after you callously ignored the rules of the road and got arrested for being Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, you said, I'm going to go off and buy a Nintendo Switch. And I said, you're not going to get a Nintendo Switch.
Well, I needed to get over the fine. I was a bit depressed because it was like, what? It was like 10,000 yen, 100 quid.
It's a lot of money. $100 isn't it? Or something, it's a lot of money. Being a naughty boy.
So, yeah, I needed to get over that. And the best way to do that was to get a Switch.
Mario Kart. on Mario Kart.
Live it out. But, yeah, no, I got a Switch. And I'd get a PS4 if I had to choose. I'd get a PS4. But I don't have time to play games that much anymore. I needed something to kind of de-stress myself.
Yes.
On the go. And the Switch did that perfectly. So I played, like, Zelda and Skyrim on it.
Have you played Mario yet?
The new one?
The new one on Switch.
What's it called? Mario...
Whatever, Mario Switchy Switch. Oh, I don't know,
Odyssey?
Is,
not Odyssey, no.
It is Odyssey. Yeah. It is Odyssey. It's the first Mario game I've ever played on the original hardware. So, you know, I played Mario 64 on an emulator or something. This is the first time I've ever owned a Nintendo product, I think.
And it's the first moment.
Time. It's good, isn't it, Mario?
It is good.
The old Mario game.
It's such great game design. Nintendo,
isn't it fantastic?
Knock it out the park every time. I mean, Zelda, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, blew me away.
Yeah.
I got bored after 2 weeks, but it's an amazing game. The animations, the detail, you feel like you're in a living, breathing world, and it's amazing.
Mm.
But it's just not violent enough for me.
There's too much, isn't it?
I've been playing Skyrim a bit more.
Yeah, okay.
Came out 5, 10 years, like 6 years ago, but it's just more.
Well, they keep releasing it for every kind of video game machine around. Yeah. I played a lot of Yakuza, the Yakuza series. The problem with JRPGs is, or Japanese games in general, I think, when there's a storyline, it just goes on forever. Like, you think you're finished, and then you get into the fourth act, and you're like, why am I now a Japanese idol dancing lady? Why? I was a Yakuza man, now I'm a little girl dancing on the TV.
Are the cutscenes, like, lengthy
endless,
and ridiculous?
Yeah. Endless! And also, the localization's weird. Like, sometimes, like, they'll sort of go... They'll say what the character means rather than what the character says. What? My limited Japanese. A man eats a bowl of ramen, and he says oishi, right? Which,
right,
as far as I can tell,
normal,
is delicious. Is
yeah,
that yeah?
Yeah,
is it delicious?
Right.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Well, he sort of comes after that, and the word that comes up, I think, is that's good or something. And I'm like, well, he definitely says that's delicious, though, doesn't he? So why have they if he'd have said that's delicious, you wouldn't go, that's a weird thing to say, because you just had some delicious ramen. Not right. I'm not having
it. Bad translation.
No. It's probably good translation. I just don't understand it. And it just goes on for too long. Too much bloody talking. Too much less yapping, more punching, I think. But a lot of these sort of questions I've noticed on Twitter and stuff, it's kind of how to get around Japan. It is remarkably easy to get around Japan.
As I said before, Google Maps. Once you got that, the world is your oyster. Japan is your oyster. Everything is put into Google Maps.
And the old JR passes, the old Japanese rail passes, they're incredibly useful as well.
So you use that when you're over, right?
I use that, yeah. I actually, this time, only got like a north of Tokyo, so the North Japan one.
See, I've never got one because I obviously live in Japan.
Yes,
you can't get JR pass if you live in
Not
Japan.
Even the first time you came. No. You didn't buy... Oh, no.
There was like a resident teacher guy.
Okay.
So it's a bit rubbish. So people have always asked me about them, and I'm like, don't know what it is, but I wish I had one.
They're incredibly good value. You can't get on the very fastest Shinkansen, but like I can't remember them now, but they've all got silly names. You can't get on the fastest one, you can get on the second fastest one, which is fast enough. It's like an extra 10 minutes. So.
Still 10 times faster than British trains, right?
It's so good. And if you're a smart... You do a lot of videos, Chris, where, you know, things not to do in Japan, but I think sometimes it's worth remembering the things you can do that you can't do anywhere else. You can smoke pretty much everywhere. If you're a smoker... Heaven.
Is it a good thing?
No, it's a terrible thing. We shouldn't be recommending any of this, but you can smoke wherever you want. If you are in a restaurant... When was the last time you smoked in a restaurant? You can smoke in a restaurant. It's mad. I'm not having it.
Yeah.
It's madness.
It actually turned me into a little bit of a smoker when I got to Japan, because all my friends around me were smoking.
Yes.
Teachers, like foreign teachers, and Japanese people. Mm. And so you kind of feel like, I want a cigarette. And so you kind of get into it. I don't smoke now anymore, but yeah, it definitely makes it it definitely makes it more difficult to not smoke.
Well, if you go with I went with my mate Al a couple of times, and he smokes a little bit, or he smokes socially, but when you can smoke everywhere and smoke all the time,
yes,
and you're on holiday, I realised how many he smoked. I was like, my clothes stank all the time.
It's really creepy. I mean, first of all, cigarettes, it's a whole different world over there. Like, they've still got the really nice like coloured packaging.
Oh yeah,
whereas
yeah,
over here it's
yeah.
like blank, right? Mm. And it's quite cheap as well. Yeah. 500 yen, I think, for a packet of cigarettes.
Do you know any? That is really cheap.
£3, whatever.
Wow.
And then, worst of all, when you're in a bar or you know a bar restaurant, you actually get people from Marlboro and all these companies coming into the bar and offering you free cigarettes. they come in, they go, we've got this new brand of Marlboro, it's Marlboro Cherry. And you go, oh, yeah, that's great. And they go, which flavour do you want? Which one do you want? And you go, oh, yeah, I'll have cherry. And they give you the pack for free.
Isn't that crazy?
You try a few cigarettes, and then you decide which one you want for free.
Oh.
And that's just like what we would not do here. And it's so different. It's
well,
so,
it's, the rules are sort of so different that they can get away with that sort of behaviour.
They can get away with it big time. I mean, they talked about getting rid of smoking indoors last year, yeah. right up to the Olympics. But there was so many people against it because it's kind of the only way a lot of Japanese salarymen could blow off steam, right, after a long day of work.
Literally steam.
Literally steam.
Well, not literally
smoke.
Steam. Smoke.
Literally smoke. they could blow off a lot of smoke after a long day of work.
Yeah.
So without that, I think a lot of people get more stressed. Well, look at Natsuki. He smokes 30... Marlboro Red cigarettes every day.
That's
12
heavy.
Milligrams of tar in each cigarette.
That's heavy.
Absurd.
That is heavy.
But he's like, if I don't smoke, I get stressed and the world falls apart around me.
Oh, goodness me. Wow. Yeah. Well, pray for lungs. Pray for Japanese lungs, I tell you. The big product I noticed last time was that IQOS, the kind of the cigarette that's still owned by the big cigarette brands, but they're it heats the...
it's not quite vaping, it's like...
Yeah, it's kind of halfway house, isn't it?
Yeah.
It heats it rather than burns it, so that it doesn't create so many carcinogens, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. There's no smoke, but it smells awful. And it's still just as bad.
Never mind. So if you want to get in touch with the show, as always, just get on Abroad in Japan.
Hashtag. Yeah. Just send in a question and we'll work on an email address.
We'll bloody find it.
You can send stuff in too.
We will, yes. And we'll be back next week with another podcast.
We will.
It's what we do now.
Yeah.
Chris, you're a broadcaster, you're a podcaster, and you're a good friend right now.
That sounded so reassuring. Thank you, Pete.
abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Do it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.